Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. We're going to open our Bibles to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to pray together, read this portion. I want to talk to you just about a few simple things this Christmas. Let's pray together. Lord, you hand this stuff off to me. It comes to me. And I write it down, and I have no idea who needs what. But I offer this to you. You have done this for all these decades of opening the scriptures and helping each of us. I ask that you would lift us up. Bless your people as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Beginning at verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 3. He is concerned about their concern for him, about his suffering. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. That doesn't mean anybody in Rome. That's talking about anybody who believes in Jesus is a saint, a holy one of God, okay? That you may, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. One of the great privileges of my job, and Pastor Gall too, is that people take us into their confidence. We hear confessions. We have people bear their souls to us and tell us things they've never told any other person in the world. That's a high and holy privilege. Did you hear about the three pastors that were talking about their weaknesses? They were having lunch together, and one pastor, they were having an accountability meeting. Sometimes that's a good idea, not all the time. The first pastor said, listen, I have a problem with checking all the ladies out at church. Other pastor said, hey, brother, look, I'll be praying for you. My problem is I like to dip the offerings. I have a problem taking money. Third guy said, listen, my problem is gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here. You know, that whole thing. Well, people have honored us with their secrets for all these years. And it's so often this time of year we'll be inundated with people who speak of feeling lost and alone and isolated and cut off from others. It's one of those feelings that come around sometimes in the holidays, sometimes in regular life too. But we've been talking a lot about that, and so I thought I would just kind of deal with it as a group. That happens. And it happens for a few different reasons. So I'm just going to make you two suggestions today. As you consider why you're feeling so alone this year, I'm going to give you two main reasons. There might be some other reasons why that you can talk about with a friend or a counselor. But let me give you just a couple of things that we need to look at. First of all, if you're feeling isolated and alone, make sure that you're in the family. The Bible talks about those who trust in God, those who have put their trust in Christ. In fact, it was the apostle that said the entire family in heaven and earth derives its name from the Father. The whole idea, there's this family living right now in this world and in heaven at the same time, and we're all one family. We come into that family when we put our faith in Christ and in Christ alone. You see, we are naturally separated from God. In fact, it was Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 4, he refers to those outside of faith in Christ. And he says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. Do you remember what happened when Adam and Eve fell into sin? They were driven out of Eden. Do you remember that? There was a separation. between the human race and God, but had never existed before. And that exists from then till now. Now listen, all people are part of the human family. But when we all say we are all children of God, that is not true if you're going to be biblical. Because the biblical definition of a child of God is someone who has come to faith in Christ. And I know there's a lot of religious people out there that think that they are children of God. There was this one guy named Nicodemus who thought that he was truly a child of the God of Israel when he came at night to check Jesus out because he had seen the miracles, he had heard of his reputation. So here he is, a big leader in the Jewish community, a member of the ruling Sanhedrin, comes to Jesus at night. Maybe he was on a rooftop alone with Jesus. And he starts reasoning with Jesus about, look, I can't figure this out, but I know you've come from God because nobody can do the stuff you're doing. I'm paraphrasing, of course. Nobody can do this stuff you're doing unless God was with him. And Jesus doesn't even respond to that. He goes right to the heart of Nicodemus and says, unless a man is born again, he will never see the kingdom of God. What? He says. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter again into his mother's womb and be born? What are you talking about? Jesus was talking about being born into the family of God. The Bible talks about it quite a bit. I'm going to tell you something. Nicodemus was religious, highly educated, cultured, and sophisticated, and lost all at the same time. I've been doing this a long time. I've known a lot of people in religious organizations that are set on boards, that run churches, that are some of the meanest snakes I've ever known in my life. Let me tell you what, I'll go sit at a bar with somebody, and you feel closer sometimes to those people than you do the religious people, because at least these people are honest. I'm telling you, it happens all the time. Just because you've been baptized doesn't mean that you belong to God. If you haven't made a personal decision to trust Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you're not in the family of God. So if you're feeling isolated, it's because you are, okay? I had somebody come to me and said, I feel so guilty. And I said, well, tell me about your life. And he told me about it. And I said, well, you feel guilty because you are guilty. But if you'll trust Christ and give it to Jesus, he takes your guilt. Therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ. I mean, we can get beyond that. But the reason we feel guilty outside of Christ is because we are. And so there's a reason for that. And you might have grown up religious. That's not it. That's not enough. It wasn't enough for the great Nicodemus. It isn't enough for you. You might have gone through the waters of baptism. You are just a very damp sinner. That's all you are. Because all that is a picture of a decision that you made to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So, from the book of Galatians chapter 4, listen to this. The very reason that Jesus came was to get you in his family. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. That means taken into God's family and being treated as though you are a blood kin. You have full rights as his child. You're in the family. It's really important that we understand it. If you're feeling lost, listen, it could be because you're not in the family. You want to feel like you belong? You need to be in that family. Jesus came here to take you into that family. Don't miss that this Christmas season. But here's the kicker. In order to get into the family, you got to give up. In order to find your way forward into the family of God, you got to fall down. You've got to surrender your life to Jesus. That's the kicker, because I don't want to let go of control of my own life. But we are called to trust in Christ, and that means he is the Lord. Do you notice that the capital L? He's the Lord, not us. You're going to have to let that go to trust him to be your Lord. About the guy that was working on his roof, and it was icy, and he started to slide, slipping off his roof,
And when he went off, he grabbed with one hand the gutter, and he's hanging 25 feet in the air, swinging from the gutter. And he said, "God, save me." And God spoke to him in that moment and said, "I will. Let go. I'll catch you." And he said, "Is there anybody else up there?" Right? You have got to let go of the control of your life to get into the family of God. You've got to let go and trust Jesus alone. "Nothing in my hand do I bring, simply to your cross I cling." He died for you and was raised from the dead. Those promises are for you, but you have to surrender to him. You got to give it up. You got to do it. So make sure you're in the family, okay? Let me give you a second suggestion. Not only when we're isolated and feeling left out and feeling empty around a holiday like this, we have to make sure we're in the family. But here's the other thing. If you're in the family, make sure you be the family. Make sure you be the family. Let me read to you Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. I'm kind of all over the place today, but listen to this. "Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." Since you are that, since you've trusted Christ, then be that. Be it. The family in heaven and earth, man. It's really an incredible thing to be part of the family of God. Did this happen to you like it happened to me? When I trusted Jesus way back in September of 1971, my eyes were like opened to other people. I just knew we were family. I mean, seriously, you go to another country and you meet someone and you just know. I remember meeting my friend Scott Noble not long ago. He is a kind of an advantageous relationship for me because he's the national rep for Gibson acoustic guitars. So he's really like my best friend, man. No, Scott, in dealing with him at different events and different things when he was there representing their company, there was just something about this guy. And so I got offside behind his exhibit, and I said to him, "Scott, let me ask you something. You're a believer, aren't you?" He said, "In Jesus Christ, the Lord." And I just knew it. I mean, you're just going to know it about certain people. You have family. I mean, Debbie and I were driving to church today. We pass the Little Baptist Chapel on Andersonville Road that is about to become one of Rick Bosnick's satellites. They're going to do Saturday church out there in the Old Baptist Church. We go by Waterford Community Church. We go by the river. We go by the Nazarene Church. We go by the Little Baptist Cathedral. We go by Mike Rath's church, the Church of the Brethren. God's people are everywhere, all around us, all the time. Listen, we're in that family. So be aware of it and be the family. We're called to a special level of love and service to others in the family. Galatians 6:10, "Let us do good to all people," of course, because we're in the human family and we're going to love everybody, right? Paul says, "Let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the family of believers." You're in that family. Be the family. By watching out for one another. We need each other. Without being in the family, without living among one another and loving one another, we're going to miss out on a whole lot. Ephesians chapter 3 again that we were at earlier. I want you to see this. It says, verse 16, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he, the Lord, may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that I pray that you," get this, "being rooted and established in love." You see this? That means loving and serving one another, right? Rooted and established. I mean, that's the foundation of our lives, is loving and serving one another as believers. If we're doing that, we may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You want to grow as a person. You want to understand more.
You want to develop more as a believer. I'm going to tell you where you're going to develop: within a community of believers, with your Christian brothers and sisters. Because it says, I just think the wording is so interesting, together with all the saints, that's just believers, right? Okay. Together with all the saints to grasp. Together, we grasp how incredible this love of Christ is. It's bigger than the Sunday school song that we learned when we were little kids, that Jesus loves me. It is so deep, so wide, so vast, so unsearchable, but we experience it together. You got to be the family. You got to be the family and serve one another within the family in order to feel fulfilled and loved. Jesus said he didn't come to serve, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many. That is our example. He said, he who loves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You want to find your life? Then give it away. Serve your brothers and sisters. Be the family. It is there you're going to find the fulfillment, the love, the inclusion by serving. I tell you, if you're just expecting to get from a Christian community, if you look for a church or a group of Christian friends like you shop to see what the benefits are for you, those are the wrong reasons. So many of you have come to me and said, I'm here because I'm here to serve. I came here looking for a place to be able to serve the Lord and serve God's people. Man, what an attitude that is. To me, that is just beautiful. That's the heart of service. I was calling people to be readers tonight at our candlelight service, and I called Lori Scharfenkamp. And left her a message, gave her a portion of scripture, and asked her if she'd read it tonight. And she messaged me back and said she would. And she said to me, I won't read it to you, it's on my phone, but she said, Pastor Tom, you're an answer to prayer, because I wanted to help with the Christmas decorations this year, but our life kind of fell apart during that time, and I had too much going on. But I was asking the Lord for a way to serve his people, and you're the answer to my prayer. I get to read to them. Isn't that a great attitude or what? I love that. I love that about you guys. But if you're feeling empty, make sure you're in the family. But if you're in the family, make sure you be the family. Serve your brothers and sisters. What short circuits are serving of brothers and sisters? I mean, you're a believer. You know Christ. You're still going to struggle. What makes us feel so far away, so isolated and alone sometimes? Well, the Bible says to not only look on your needs, our own needs, but the needs of others. What derails this? Let me ask you something. Have you ever been cheated in your life? If you haven't, just wait a minute. It'll happen, okay? Because it's a broken, messed up world, and people are messed up, and you're going to get used and abused, okay? That's just going to be part of it in this broken, messed up world. Have you been through it? Have you been neglected, abused, cheated? Well, this creates bitterness, that creates anger, that fosters unforgiveness, that causes us to put walls up around our lives from the family and others, and it creates isolation. So there's only one thing to do. We have to come out of that. We have to recognize that we are bitter. Are you always focused on what you're going to get? Because you've been cheated by somebody in your life. So now you're watching out, boy. You've become cynical. Man, I've been cynical. Sometimes I could be cynical right now. Let me think. I probably am. But we get cynical about people, and then we don't help anymore. We don't give anymore. We don't bless anymore. We simply stay back and keep whatever little we have for ourselves. Because we don't want to be a blessing. We want to keep it for ourselves because we've been cheated. And nobody's going to do that to me again. Has that happened to you? Then it's time to obey what Jesus said, to forgive. Oh, you say you don't know what I've been through. Oh, I've heard all the stories. You can't shock me. The stories I've heard, it's unbelievable. But it's It's time to start forgiving. It's a choice that you forgive. I listened to Ruth Graham, not Billy's wife, but Billy and Ruth's daughter, Ruth Graham. She's had a tough life, been through a lot in her life. She's a wonderful lady, and she has written a book on forgiveness. I heard her being interviewed about that book, and you should get it. I haven't read it yet, but I listened to her, and it's on order. It's coming. She tells a story. She goes into this prison, a maximum security prison, that she was invited to come and visit the prisoners. So she goes, and while she's visiting the prisoners, they said, "Would you like to go back into solitary confinement? These are the men waiting for execution." And she thought, man, well, her dad always told her you walk through doors that open. So she said yes. The first little cell, they opened a window, and here is this little brown hand that came out to shake her hand. And he said, "Miss Graham, can I give you a gift?" And she said yes. And he stood back and sang at the top of his lungs, "It is well with my soul." And then said, "Ma'am, may I please give you another gift?" And he gave her this little cross that he had woven out of threads from his bed sheets. She was so moved by that. So she gets an email the next day. "I understand you're in Angola prison. Did you go into solitary confinement and did you meet Michael?" And so she wrote the lady back, "I was in solitary confinement and I met a Michael, but there was a couple of Michaels. Which Michael do you mean?" She gave the last name. She said, "Yes, I met him." And this woman said, "Do you know if Michael's a believer?" And she wrote and said, "Yes, Michael is a believer." And this woman wrote back and said, "Thank you so much. Michael murdered my granddaughter in an awful fashion. And I just wanted to make sure he was going to be in heaven with me." That is called supernatural, is what that's called. This woman had actually worked through that. I mean, incredible. And you know, we need to forgive so we can reopen up our lives. It's so important that we do. Suzanne Toby had on her Facebook page this week, "The most influential person in your life is the one you won't forgive." The most influential person in your life is the one you won't forgive. The one that has the most power over you is the one you won't forgive. We're just hurting ourselves. We're just isolating ourselves. It's time to let that go, right? It's time to make the choice. Look, it's not an emotional choice. It's a choice you make in your head. "Lord, I recognize this as sin in my own life. I'm going to let this go in the name of Jesus. Lord, I forgive them. I ask you to bless them." And then when the emotions come back, you do it again. The emotions come back, you do it again. You're going to get it. You're going to get through. And you're going to learn that there's certain roads you're not going to go down. Don't you love living in Michigan? You know, when I was driving the old Honda that was all beat up, and we taped it back together a bunch of times, and I'm still driving it for a couple days until it sells, but I'm telling you, I drive down, I don't care about that car, but I care about this new one, okay? And all of a sudden I noticed, I'm not going down that road. There are too many potholes on that road. Michigan roads, are you kidding me? And in our neighborhood, have you ever cut through Chestnut Hill Farms off Maybe Road? Are you kidding me? We have people that won't get the roads fixed. We've been voting for years and we come up two or three short. Pretty soon we're just going to have dirt roads, I guess. I don't know. But it's terrible in our neighborhood. We're trying to figure out which way to go to get out to have the least potholes. Listen to me. When it comes to forgiveness, sometimes we got to quit allowing ourselves to go down that road because you're going to fall in that pothole again. Don't do it. Let me give you some suggestions because I want you to be able to open your life. Ask God to identify unforgiveness in our lives. Ask him, "Lord, I feel so alone. Who am I holding something against? What's going on? I give you permission to open that door." Start there. Second of all, ask God for the power to let it go. You can't do that on your own. Come on, you have been wounded. That evil was real. So ask him for the power to let it go. Let me give you a third thing. Ask a friend to pray with you, not pray for you. I mean, they can pray for you, but have a friend pray with you about letting that go. It's very powerful when we pray for one another. Very powerful. And not just say, yeah, I'm going to pray for you, Lord, help him, amen. I mean, bow your heads together and hold hands, and you confess before God that you're struggling with this and have your friend pray for you. There is so much power. The prayer of a righteous person avails much, the Bible says. Have them pray for you. By the way, there's another reason. If we're honest about our struggle with unforgiveness, it'll help others with their struggles of unforgiveness. Somebody's going to pray for you and go, oh man, that's right, I'm carrying that too, aren't I? Debbie and I went on Weight Watchers. I kind of did. Debbie really did, you know. But what's really interesting about losing weight is that other people start realizing the extra pounds they're carrying. And they go, oh man, you look great, man. I got to tell you what, I got to do something. Everybody does that, right? We're just trying to get healthy. My doctor said to me, he knows me way too well. He said, you know, Porky, if you lose some weight, you wouldn't have to take blood pressure medication. And sure enough, the first 20 pounds I lost, it went away. So I'm glad for that. But it's interesting when that happens. Other people notice and they start looking inward. That's not the reason that anybody should, you know, lose weight. Should do it because it's healthy. But anyhow, when you start dealing with unforgiveness in your life and you're honest about it, other people start looking within themselves. It is a whole cleansing for the people of God. Instead of carrying the bitterness of that ex-husband or that ex-wife you still refer to as the queen of mean... or whatever. Isn't it time to let that stuff go? Come on. It's hurting you. Time to let it go. Ask God to open your heart up again. So ask God to identify the unforgiveness. Ask God for the power to let it go. And ask a friend to pray for you. And then ask God to open your heart again. It's so important. So, you feeling isolated this year? Make sure you're in the family. It's a simple step of faith. Asking Jesus Christ to be your Savior and surrendering your life to Him. And then, after you're in the family, make sure you be the family. Your brothers and sisters all around you need you. Let's stand together to pray. Come on, let's pray together. I hear phone messages binging everywhere, like, come on, are we having lunch today or what? I know what you're doing. I know, and I know your names and I know where you live, so don't mess with me. Let's pray together, my friends. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, only you can open the arteries of our hearts spiritually from the clog of unforgiveness. Help us. Father, so many of us are afraid of being around other people, afraid of opening our heart. Would you rescue us from ourselves? And we thank you for this. Lord, I know this is just generalities I'm throwing out there, but I ask that you would begin a movement among your people, that you would cleanse us again of this besetting sin. And we thank you for it. Thank you for this season. Thank you for being here with us to help us. Holy Spirit, we offer our lives to you as your people. And for my friends who need to be in the family today that aren't, it's so simple, my friend. Turn to Jesus and say to him, Jesus, I am lost. I know I'm a sinner. And I need you to save me. Here's my life. I give it to you. I take my hands off the driving. I give it to you. Help me. Thank you for making me yours. Thank you for making me your child. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.